Welcome to the Servant Leadership Podcast. In this episode, we invite you to listen to Art Barter as he shares his full keynote address from our Servant Leadership Conference in 2016. Art speaks about the 9 behaviors of a servant leader and how practicing these behaviors will fulfill the goal of servant leadership. Are people better off after coming in contact with you?
How are we doing this morning? Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Come on, wake up. There you go. What's it feel like to be with like-minded people? Leaders, what does it feel like? It feels cool, doesn't it? I am so excited about this. I can't tell you. I've been looking forward to this week. So I'm not sure I'm going to get through my presentation because I'm too excited. And my staff knows when I get excited, I tell stories. So they're not sure what's going to come out of my mouth, so they're back there praying for me right now. You guys are in for a treat, an unbelievable treat in the next 2 days. We have some leaders. They're going to help shape how you think. Think about your behaviors. It's going to be so cool. So you get to start off with me today. I'm going to talk for a little bit about behaviors. And I'm going to share with you a little bit about why we need to change our behaviors as leaders. We used to, you know, we call it the power model. I'm changing my mindset with that. I really think it's leadership malpractice. Leadership malpractice. Let's call it what it is. All right? Because we've all seen the results of power leadership, haven't we? Anybody here not been involved with the power leadership type model? I didn't think so. I have. I was trained in that model. I did it really well. My wife, Lori, tells me I can clear a conference room in about 2 seconds using the power model of leadership. And so my transformation started late in life. We're still working on it. I'm not there yet. I still have traits that come out of the closet when I get under pressure. And that's what's going to happen when we do that. So we're going to share some things with you this morning on why it's so important for us to change the way we think about leadership. And it's going on in our world right now. You just got to watch about what's going on TV, right? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So I love Coach Carter. True story, he shut down his basketball program so his team could become students. He helped them become students first, and at the end they tell him, and then you became men. And he got to watch that. Now, Hollywood put a nice little twist on it. The young man who you saw in the video was into drugs. He lost his brother. Not part of the story. But he turned that young man's life around. And isn't that what we're all about as servant leaders? Influence the people that are around us. Influence the people that watch us. Influence what people say and do. That's what it's all about as leaders, is influence. What if we serve first? We built trust in our organizations. We lived our values. We live them. Not just talk about them, but we live them. We listen to understand. Not just listen. Not just be present in the room when someone's talking. But we listen to understand. Listening is a form of love. I had to learn that when my team rated me the lowest in listening. I thought I was a great listener. The survey was wrong. We had to redo the questions because the results weren't right. I went home on Friday night, told Lori, my wife, what happened. She said, "Tell me something I don't already know." I came home looking for help. And she confirmed what I already been told. I didn't like it. But I wanted to serve, so I went and did some research on listening, and it was all about love. If you care about people, you'll listen to them, but just listen to understand on top of that. And there's a whole lot that goes into that. Think about your thinking. When was the last time we as leaders went into an office or found our place and turned off our electronic devices? Our computers. What if you walked in your office and shut down every electronic device in your office? Would you be able to take it for 5 minutes? Or would you start shaking after 5 minutes? All right? It's become so much of our life. We need time to think. Find that place to think. What if we add value to others in everything we do? What if we add values to others? And then demonstrate courage to live who we are? I'm going to share with you a story later on about courage. That's unbelievable. Increase our influence. Isn't that what leadership is all about too? Is influence? Ken will tell you it's all about influence. It's all about influence. If you watch the video clip, the team was looking at one of their team members in kind of like disbelief. That was, they were influencing their team just by what he was saying. That's the influence that we're all about. And then live our transformation. Now, this is a tough one. Because in the book, it doesn't say just live our transformation with the people we like or the people that's within our social box of acceptability. Isn't it our responsibility to treat people with dignity and respect, regardless of who they are? Regardless. So if you're going to be a servant leader, you've got to live your transformation with everyone that comes in contact with you, not just those people you like. Biggest challenge of a leader is to go live transformation and treat someone that they don't like, that's not on board with what they're doing in the company, not living up to values, and treat them the same way you do with people you like. Big, big challenge. Indifference in leadership is one of the worst things you can do to people, is treat them with indifference. That isn't part of the servant leadership model. So we're going to challenge you with what ifs in your behaviors, because that's where we think leadership really is going to take place, is in your behaviors. We can talk about it. We can teach it. You could even use the word walk your talk. We don't believe that's the right phrase. What we believe, it's behave your talk. Back up your behavior. Your behavior shows it in your walk. Everywhere you go, you behave the same way. Now, that doesn't mean that everything you do has to, you have to have the same reaction. I'm not that person. I have emotions all the time that come out and go, I really don't like what's going on here. But leaders know their weaknesses, and they work on them, and they understand them, and they understand the impact on people. We're going to help you understand the behaviors of servant leadership and talk about implementing them in your work, in your life. Why is it so important? Disengaged. $11 billion in turnover. $11 billion is lost in turnover. 71% not fully engaged. 70% of our workforce today is not engaged. That's in the United States, folks. They're not engaged. Anybody you know in your organization that's just going along for the ride? Just going through the motions? They've kind of given up on life? Don't we have a responsibility to impact that life and help them through that? 75% quit on their bosses. 75%. Now, if you don't think that's going on in your organization today, think again, because it is. It is. We've been at servant leadership now for 12 years. I have this in my organization today. Because people bring their experiences to work, and they bring their life experiences to work. And just because we're servant leaders, that they're not going to change those files they have in their brain. They're just not going to change it because, hey, we're a servant-led organization, and you have to change. You have to help them replace that file they have in their brain with a positive experience and something that they want to be part of. Behave differently and talk to people. I share this every year, and every year I get more disappointed. Institutions Americans feel the most confident about. Military's top, small business. Small business is number two. Anybody protecting small business in this country today? Don't get me started. Police, the church, medical system, presidency, 31%, banks, newspapers, Congress. When I first started looking at this survey, it's done every year by Gallup, Congress was at 13%. Last year it was at 8%. When are we going to get leaders in Washington who want to serve the people who elected them? That's the biggest question we have right now. But that doesn't just apply to our nation. It applies to any organization that you're part of. Do the leaders understand they're here to serve and help people? All right? You're seeing a battle going on right now for a party that I think its life is almost over because the people have had it. They're tired. And they're not tired because of economics. They're tired of leaders who don't tell them the truth. All right? People are tired of leaders in companies who don't tell them the truth, who aren't honest with them and care about them. This is going to get worse before it gets better. And I don't know how much worse it can get than 8%. But something's got to give somewhere. It's got to give somewhere because people are tired. U School, you'll hear from Scott in a little bit tomorrow. He surveyed 400 young people that had graduated from college, been in the workplace for anywhere from 5 to 10 years. 400 of them asked, are you happy with what you're doing? Are you working at a company where you thought you would be? How many do you think said yes? Anybody want to guess? 10. I have 10. Anybody else? Three out of 400 kids in the workplace are happy with what they're doing. They said, you teach us in school, you teach us how to do resumes, you teach us how to dress, you teach us, you know, where we're going. Nobody helps us find our gifts and then helps us go work in their gifts. Nobody helps us do that. Why? Why? We have a university in North County, San Marcos. Last year, 50% of their freshman class, first time that anybody in the families had gone to college. 50% of their freshmen was the first person in their family that had gone to college. That's life-changing. Doing things different. All right? Why is it so important here in San Diego? Focus in on San Diego. Second largest millennial population per capita among the nation's largest cities. They make up 27% of San Diego's population. They have a hard time finding work. Only 59% are employed. We got to do something different. We have to find purpose for these young lives coming out of college. We have to help them find their gifts so they can work in their gifts and be happy. Today we're being told on average millennials will be in a job for anywhere between 2 and 3 years. They'll have 25 jobs in their lifetime. I hope that estimate's wrong. But think about that as leaders. You are going to have 2 years to influence a life. And if you don't influence them and give them something other than you got to help us make money, they're going to go somewhere else. They want purpose in their life. They want something above just making money. That's what's coming. And I applaud that group for doing that. I really do. Because they're putting purpose above money. And we have to help them do that. Now, getting a guy like me, 61 years old, to change my mindset, our measure of success was what? We went to work for a company, we stayed there for 10, 15 years. That was success. You don't have that today. You don't have that today. You're going to have 2 years to impact that life. If you're doing something great, you're going to have a little bit more time. The world's changing. And we've got to do something different. The other end of the spectrum, last year, there was a survey done of hospice nurses. Hospice nurses. They asked them, what is the item that most of your patients talk about? And they said, by far, the biggest regret they had, I wish I had the courage to live the life that was inside of me and not the life others expected of me. So we have people dying right now who wish they had the courage to live the life that was inside of them We have kids in the university coming out of college. They want the same thing, but we're not doing anything different. Are they going to end up the same way? There's four generations there, folks. Are they going to end up different? I don't know. But I'm going to do everything I can to make sure we serve the people who want purpose in their life, who want to have meaning in their life, and not just cash or cars or houses. Now, those are all nice things. And if you own a house and a car, you're not a bad person. But we have to have purpose in our life. That's where our heart really, really takes off, is when we have purpose in our life. We're a big fan of Greenleaf, Robert Greenleaf. But we also feel that his writings were done in the 1970s. That was a long time ago. We think today that servant leaders have a different definition of measurement of their work. I like the second half of Greenleaf's definition, where they talk about, do the people less fortunate than you, are they better off after they come in contact with you? I love that definition. Because it only takes a second to say hi. It takes a second to encourage people to do something different. It only takes a minute to impact a life by just talking to them or making eye contact with them. But I don't think serving is a natural feeling to serve. I think it can be learned. I think it has to be learned. And the characteristics, the behaviors of servant leaders, they can be learned. And starting with trust, it can be learned. Covey says, you can learn this behavior. You don't have to have a natural feeling. Now, helping others is in the unfolding of life's events. That's really what we're all about. And I think the measurement for servant leaders is the stories of those people that you influence. The stories that come out of the lives that you influence. Greenleaf says, do the people grow? Are they better off? Are they likely to be servant leaders? I want to take that further and go, if you're going to be a servant leader, you have to impact lives. Because that's what it's all about. Servant is an action word. It means go help people. It's not just about us. The unfolding of lives events. We all have personal things that impact us in our day-to-day work, right? Everybody? I have it all the time. And I have people around me that help me through those lives events. I'm thankful for them. Isn't that what we do? We just don't say, hey, 8 to 5, you're mine. And oh, by the way, outside of that, I don't care about your life anymore. You have to care about that life. You have to. Because that's what the society is all about. Community. Set of principles and practices that turn the traditional positional leadership model upside down. We want to inspire and equip you. And it isn't about those who report to us. It's about those who we influence. How many of you have kids? Have your kids ever said something you didn't like, but you knew exactly where they got it from? Did you influence that life in a way that you couldn't figure out how you influenced them? Yeah. Yep. Same thing happens in companies. You say or do something or not do something or go, they're going to follow you and they're going to behave just like you do, because that's the culture you're going to create. Looks like a pyramid scheme to me. This is what we operate to today. We put the CEO at top. And I love what Ken Blanchard taught me. He says, all right, when you're sitting at the top of that pyramid, who's above you to serve? Who's above you to serve? There's nobody there. We got to turn it upside down. We take the model, power model, and we turn it upside down. Leaders are at the bottom of that pyramid because our job is to serve and help everyone that we influence. At Datron, I don't publish an org chart. I take heat from people because I don't have an org chart. But the culture we're trying to create is I want people to go to anybody at any time about anything. I don't want them to look at an org chart and say, I got to go up the org chart to get the answer I need to go serve my customer. Why can't they just go talk to people and get what they need to serve your customers? Why do they have to go through an org chart? Is it because all the knowledge resides at the top of the pyramid? In my company, if I went out and made radios, I will guarantee you, not one would be shipped out the back door. Because that's not my gift. It's not my gift. Isn't it our responsibility as leaders to also work within our gifts and not think that we know everything? Big difference. Big difference. The outcomes, we talked about the purpose. You're going to empower people. And like what one of the things that Ken says, empowerment is in the moment. Empowerment isn't a strategic plan. You're going to empower someone in the moment. Do it in the moment. Everybody put your hands together. Clench your fists. What can you feel? You feel tension? That's a leader holding on to power. Now, let it go. Now what do you feel? Relief. It feels great, doesn't it? Give your power away. Because that's how you're going to feel. You're holding it right now. Give it away. Exercise I did with my team. I got a little excited at an offsite quarterly meeting. I didn't want to. I did. We call it passion in my company. It really stands for the CEOs being a little bit unreasonable, all right, in the discussion. I went and got a rubber ducky from one of our managers, came back, I gave this to Irwin. He said, Irwin, you now have control of my lips. I can't talk unless I have that rubber ducky in my hands. What would happen if you gave that rubber ducky away in your organization and said, I'm going to be quiet for a while and listen to the people who know how to do what they're supposed to do? Empower in the moment. Don't put it in a strategic plan, because all you're doing is going to shove it in the drawer and come back to it next year and go, yeah, we empowered. Oh, yeah, we did. But we need to do it some more. Do it in the moment. Engagement, 70%. Unengaged. Unbelievable stat. We want leaders to help others understand a life of significance and not success. I came up in the business world in Orange County. My dream was to retire at 40 on a home out in Newport Island with a yacht out in front of the home. I didn't have a plan to get there, but that's what I called success. Today, significance in my life is helping people find purpose. Helping people who are taking care of other people. Give the money away and let people help. People on the front lines and charitable organizations. Give it away. Give it away. And watch how you're going to feel. It's pretty powerful. Everybody can be great because everybody can serve. Everybody can serve. I don't think it has to be a natural feeling. I think everybody wants to help other people, but they're afraid to live the life that's inside of them because they want to live the life that's expected of them. Let's change that. Let's live the life that's inside of us. Let's be who we are, not what someone else wants us to be. Let's change what we're thinking. The transformation we're going to help you talk about today and tomorrow is one of a butterfly. And you're going to start off, if you're new to servant leadership, you're hanging on the bridge right there on the branch. And you're going to grow a little bit, you're going to learn, then you're going to change. And then you're going to do something a little bit different. You start to come out of your shell and start to be the person that's inside of you. Does this transformation of a caterpillar to a butterfly, does it face challenges in the environment that it's in? If it doesn't protect itself, is it going to be exposed to sunlight, rain, wind? You guys are going to run across challenges in your leadership lives. So maybe sometimes your transformation has to take a step backwards because you need to learn a little bit more. But then you're able to step forward and maybe go to the next level. And then maybe to the next level. And then maybe you got to come back. But at this point, people are starting to see something different in you as a leader. They're going, maybe Art's serious about this stuff. Maybe he's serious about leading differently. Maybe he really wants us to be a better organization. I'm going to keep watching him. Now, when I went into Datron for the first time back in 97, as their VP of finance, I went in at a time where they had just finished trying the latest and greatest inequality system. Anybody been in that in an organization where every year it's something new? You never get to the point where you want to implement something. I love it when leaders say, we're going to try this. Look up the word try. And you'll find that the word try doesn't give any definition of commitment. It says, we're going to go see if it works. So as a leader, when you say try, you're telling your organization, you know what, we're going to go see how this thing goes, and then we're going to see if it really changes us. But then I have an out if it doesn't, and the first sign of challenge is I get to go back to my old ways. Now, when you have to go back in your transformation, you have to have people around you that will give you grace. You have to give grace. One day with my senior team, 7, 8 years ago, we were going through a tough conversation. I said, you know what? I would like to have you extend me the same amount of grace that I extend to you. And something clicked with that comment. Grace is a two-way street. Leaders make mistakes. Leaders aren't perfect. They're human beings. Humans make mistakes. We have to forgive. We have to forget. And we have to extend grace. It goes both ways. Because if you don't, their transformation can't go to the next level. You can influence people above you as much as people below you by what you do and say. That's powerful. We trained everyone in Datron on servant leadership. Everybody. And the reason we did that is we wanted everybody to go through the same training. But what we found out down the road is when we had someone who wasn't leading in the way we wanted, they were surrounded by servant leaders. Everywhere. They had nowhere to go. So what did they do? They left the company. We helped them leave the company. Now, I like what the head of Ford did. He says, you know, when people don't get what I'm talking about, he says, that's okay. It's okay. And he just keeps saying it's okay. But at about the fourth okay, he says, this okay means that I need to help you go find another job. And I'm going to help you do that. Servant leaders don't stop when the employment relation stops. Our job is to help them find a job that will help them. Help them understand who they are, their weaknesses, their strengths. But here's some of the things we can do. We can make that transition easier by maybe saying your employment relationship is going to end on the 5th of the month instead of the 25th. Anybody know what that does to them? Gives them another 30 days of free benefits. Who cares? $500, $1,000 for a life? When we hit some tough times 5 or 6 years ago, we had to lay some people off. We did that exact same thing. We gave benefits longer. But here's what was interesting, we had to learn this, is we had the same mentality that when we laid people off, we didn't trust them that day. The day before, we trusted them. They had access to their computer, access to their desk, to their work stuff. But just because I didn't do my job as a leader, and I had to lay them off, the next day I don't trust them. And I have to say, go to HR and go to the door. We changed that philosophy and said, when we have to do that again, we're going to let people stay the day. It's your choice. Stay and talk to the people you work with. Go finish your work. Go transition to someone. But we let them stay. because we trusted them the same that day than we did the day before. We failed in our job to keep them employed, and we didn't trust them? That's the difference in servant leadership. The caring doesn't stop with the employment contract or the paycheck. I had a leader say once, you know, this is what I tell people. I sign the front of the check and you sign the back of the check. Think about what that tells someone. Isn't that leadership malpractice? I've got the power because I'm giving you your paycheck. So do something different. Think differently. Treat people differently. And you're going to get into a transformation that people are going to go, wow, this is pretty cool. This is pretty cool. And you'll get to a point where you can't turn it around. That's what I love about servant leadership. Once it gets started and people latch onto it and take ownership of it in the organization, it's going. Because it belongs to the folks, to the people. The biggest challenge I had as a leader was understanding that my folks were at different spots on the branch. I had to understand I had some that were beginning, some that were close to the end, some in the middle, some that were stuck. And I had to manage that transformation of them as leaders, and I also had to get results. Because we can't put our organizations on hold, right? And wait for results. Go to the board and say, I'm going to implement servant leadership so I don't have to meet my plan for the next 12 months. I'm not going to fly. I have to get results. And that's how we do it. Live your transformation. Live it with everybody you come in contact with, regardless if you like them or not. And treat everyone, with dignity and respect as a leader. And then sit back and watch what happens. Take that clenched fist that you're holding on to, that has a lot of tension in it, and let it go. And watch what will happen. We're going to take you through the 9 behaviors tomorrow morning. But at this point, I'm going to turn it back over to our MC. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we encourage you to connect with us. Go to our website to learn more about our training services and our events. You'll find us at www.servantleadershipinstitute.com. We invite you to join us for the Music of Servant Leadership, our Servant Leadership Conference for 2017 on March 13th and 14th. Our location this year will be the beautiful Marriott Marquis San Diego Marina. Registration is now open and early bird pricing is in effect. To register and get more information about the event or the Servant Leadership Institute, see our website or email us at info@servantleadershipinstitute.com. Thanks for listening and allowing us to add value to your day.